Crude oil is crude. Natural gas is pure. That's why Pennzoil's base oil is made from natural gas, not crude. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
So, guys, we probably want to do the Lakers, what, in the middle of the show? Because we've got McMenamin here today, right?
For sure. Dave, got to hit Lakers.
Sure. And I want Heat because of that game yesterday.
Okay.
Guys, we have a minute until the show.
I know.
And the chairs aren't set up.
I've been trying to tell you.
Yeah, we were trying to tell you.
We got a new studio.
You'd love to see that.
We got to go.
We got a minute.
Let's go.
The show's about to start. Look around at our new hangout. We are so excited about this. We have an amazing, amazing crew that has put all of this together over past months. We owe them a big debt of gratitude. I'm Rachel Nichols alongside the undefeated Mark Spears and our insider, Laker Dave himself, apparently, Dave McMenamin. Coming up, we will talk about Luka Doncic. He passed his airness on Sunday with the most consecutive 25-5 games since the merger. Now, Luka downplayed the accomplishment, but should we? We'll discuss. First, though, let's talk about the Lakers at the top of the show, in fact, because they continued their torrid start Sunday night, this time behind a dominant 50-point performance from Anthony Davis. He actually joined Kyrie Irving as the only teammates of LeBron's to ever score 50 in a game. Hey, Lizzo was there. She showed her appreciation a little later in the game.
Okay.
Anthony Davis now also leads the Lakers in scoring, rebounding, steals, and blocks, which begs the question, how does this all affect the MVP race, given the Lakers also have won Mr. LeBron James? Take a look here. These are the other teammates who have finished top five in voting together, as you can see. Doesn't happen that often. But when it does, it is a distinguished list. So, Dave, LeBron having a bounce-back season, himself leading the NBA in assists, are both LeBron and AD legit MVP candidates? Or we know LeBron has gotten the bulk of the buzz. Is AD going to take votes away from LeBron?
They are both legitimate candidates. The question is, when it comes down to filling out your ballot and you look at the totality of the season, mm-hmm. and what they both accomplished, is LeBron James in year 17 switching positions,
right.
potentially leading the league in assists, and being the engine that creates everything that works for that team, not only being the guy on the court, but the guy bringing them together off the court for team functions, the guy being heavily consulted with Rob Pelinka to put this roster together in the first place? Is that the most valuable thing that's happening for this team, or is it Anthony Davis? Now, Anthony Davis, the last two games, has 89 points combined. Incredible. Go back earlier in the week, he shut down Jokic and Jamal Murray right. in Denver to win a tough road game. He's showing on both ends of the court, but ultimately the most valuable person on the Lakers in their entire organization, on the court, everything, is LeBron James. So I think he will siphon some votes away from LeBron, but if people really consider what's going on here, LeBron is the most valuable.
By the way, Anthony Davis just named seconds ago. This is how up to date we are for you. Seconds ago, named Western Conference Player of the Week. What do you think about this?
LeBron's been amazing. I think the layoff from the playoffs, not being in it, really has helped him. But he's in the Michael Jordan realm, the Kobe realm, where we don't appreciate him enough. We just expect him to do this. And I don't think I expected Anthony to be scoring 50 and. Mm-hmm. So I think what ends up happening is, this is LeBron does this. This is his magnificence. And I think what ends up happening is Anthony will get pushed forward because he hasn't won this already. So and if that's the case, I don't think LeBron would care.
Well,
but I don't think we I know Laker Dave appreciates what LeBron is doing. But I think we're just so used to it that we don't push him up like we should.
I mean, look, by the way, Dave has many nicknames, just as most of them we can't say on TV.
Yeah.
So that's why Laker Dave is being used today. It is, I mean, the other person in the conversation, there's a couple other people, but the main other person in the conversation is, of course, Giannis Antetokounmpo. We have the odds from Caesars. They just released the latest ones today. Giannis, of course, tops the list. Now, Luka Doncic is in second. LeBron, James Harden, who, by the way, if you could hear Daryl Morey offset being like, James Harden, say James Harden. also tied there for third place. So AD not up at the top competing with LeBron at the odds list, but nationally it feels like where the money is coming in for betting. And then when, of course, Tim Bontemps did that straw poll for ESPN last week, the likely voters are going toward Giannis themselves. Do you think that maybe that split is what's going to make the difference in the end?
It could very well, but it was an interesting week. I mean, Tim did a great job checking in with 101 people across the league to see how they're going to vote. But 5 games ago, Anthony Davis didn't have that 50-point performance. Right. He didn't have the game in Denver where he completely dominated down the stretch. He didn't have 39 points in Portland to end a perfect road trip again for this team. And so things will shift as we get further along in this season. I think the question is, though, like LeBron last night had 13 assists and 32 points, 6 for 8 from three. 8 of the buckets that Anthony Davis scored were from assists from LeBron. So, again, I think if people look at what's really happening with this team, Anthony Davis has been incredible. Mm-hmm. But LeBron James is the reason why he's had a lot of that success.
And we talked a bit last week about the Lakers' defense. You can see LeBron changing the way his teammates play defense. And I don't know how much Giannis Antetokounmpo or AD changes what happens with the other players who maybe just go out and do more of their own thing in those scenarios. That being said, what the Bucks have been doing is amazing. They've won their 14th straight on Friday night, and they did it by blowing out the Clippers by 28. And this was not some, oh, by the way, we don't have so-and-so and so-and-so Clippers. This is the Clippers with Kawhi Leonard, with Paul George. In fact, Milwaukee's won their last 4 games by a combined 137 points. That's nearly 35 a game that they are beating opponents by. Right now, both the Lakers and the Bucks are on pace to win 71 games. And, Mark, we usually, if we're going to compare two teams, and one's in the East and one's in the West, and we say, well, who's more likely to accomplish X feat or Y feat? You go with the team in the East because they're going to have an easier path. But in this case, the Lakers actually have a better record against West teams so far than the Bucks do against East teams. So given that, who you got to win 70?
Well, Lakers got a big road trip coming up. As he knows, their December is tough. I think we'll really see what they are. I like the Bucks' chances better.
You're still there.
And the Bucks don't have the pressure. And the East is, I'm tempered in saying this, but the East is not as good. And Milwaukee's in Milwaukee. Lizzo ain't going to their games. I mean, like, there's just so much more pressure being a Laker, and they're younger. And
it's colder in Milwaukee. You've got to stay dressed when you're in Wisconsin. Less so than in California.
Exactly.
There you go.
Oh, man.
I'll say this. It threw me off on that one. Right there.
I'm not wrong.
You are not wrong.
Thank you.
LeBron James turns 35 this month. Giannis just turned 25.
Yeah.
At some point, even though LeBron told me that there will be no load management with me, as long as I'm healthy, I'm going to play. At some point, I imagine they taper down his minutes to give him a chance to, you know, refresh himself heading into the postseason. Whether that's post All-Star break, perhaps, mm-hmm. you know, and give him a little bit of time. You don't have to do that with Giannis.
Right.
Giannis can go full bore every single game all season long. And to me, because he hasn't had these long postseason runs like LeBron has, he doesn't have to, you know, pause at all. And so that's why I would give the edge to Milwaukee, where, you know, don't need to have a governor with that team, with that star. Mm-hmm. Just go for it. And so if they get – now, I don't think either team gets 70 wins. No. We've only seen two teams in the history of the NBA get 70 wins. I don't think either of these two teams
I don't know,
make
man.
It the third. You think?
I don't. I mean, look, obviously this is why they play the games,
right.
As someone famous said. This kind of year where we're seeing scoring up the way it is and just sort of – you know, we expected so much parity this year – we haven't quite seen that. There is, of course, not this dominant Bigfoot Golden State Warriors team. We're so used to that. But you know who the best teams on each side are.
You know.
Right? And they're one of the best teams.
And you know, as it was with the Warriors, you kind of get attracted to that shiny object.
Yeah.
That 73, getting that record, which actually kind of went to their detriment in the end. But especially for a young Milwaukee team, like, I'm still worried about Anthony being healthy a whole season. If the Lakers are to take off, they should low management LeBron at the end to get him rested. But them young Bucks, boy, they're not getting enough attention. I think they could be attracted to trying to chase that Warriors number.
Well, speaking of whether they taper LeBron, if he sees the MVP in his sights, you covered him when he played all 82 because he thought maybe that would get him to an MVP. And you know that as much as he will never say it again, he does. It would be a big deal for him to win the MVP again.
Yeah, especially the gap of time since it's been since the last trophy. And, you know, he has 4. Getting it to 5 is even more elite class. You're talking about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Michael Jordan and you. I mean, that's pretty special. I think that would be a motivating factor. The question is, though, are they set up? Like, Phil Jackson had this, you know, one of the two coaches ever to coach a 70-win team,
right,
used to say, playing in the middle of the country, shorter flights, easier to accomplish a goal. Now, the Warriors also, in the West Coast, they did it, but, you know, the Lakers, there'll be times where LeBron's body's got to feel it. That's just truth.
It's going to be an interesting balance because, as you said, there was that temptation. The Warriors decided, hey, we want to do this. I'm not going to say that's why they lost the title this year. That year, that was one of the strangest NBA finals in history. Literally the first time any one team has come back from 3-1 down, and a bunch of things happened we didn't expect with Draymond, right? So I don't know. It's, oh, gee, they went for 73 and that's why they didn't win. They feel, in hindsight, maybe they would do things differently. I don't know if the Lakers feel pushed toward the end of the season. Maybe not so much for 70, but LeBron, if he sees that MVP in his sights, wants to go get it, and how that might affect their record, but then also how he is for the playoffs. Good story within a story we will be tracking. All right, coming up, trade season is upon us. Well, it's coming. A big name on the market is Kevin Love. We will talk about where it may be the best fit for the five-time All-Star. So stay tuned for that. First, though, time for our distant replay from this date in 2004. You knew this was going to be on today. This is one of the greatest closing runs in NBA history. Tracy McGrady. Here's the whole thing.
Jesus. Four threes.
Wow. Come on.
30 seconds. Twice, thrice.
Against the Spurs.
Four times McGrady.
Look, here it comes. Here it comes. Here it comes. Here it comes.
Wow.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just going to do that again.
Sleepy egg killer.
By the way, he says that Jeff Van Gundy still had something to say after that game about what he didn't do. He was like, Jeff, look, but the thing with the winning and the 33 seconds.
It's a make or miss league.
Make, miss.
Ovo je Liga promašaja pogodaka.
It's nice to see Nurk. All right, make, focus, Nuggets, Nets. Spencer Dinwiddie hits the go-ahead bucket late in the fourth, and then he leaves KD hanging. Look at that. You're not supposed to do that. He's I know he's hurt, but he is the best player on the team.
But look at his clap. He was right on top of it.
We've had some all-time leave-you-hanging moments. Phil Jackson's gotten left hanging a lot in these clips, by the way. Russ will not let you leave him hanging.
Damn, look at that look he gave.
Uh-huh. You don't want to be on the other end of one of those.
This is one I need.
Right, the Phil one.
The pound.
And then he's like...
And there's some dirt.
Then he pretends
smudge it off with my knuckle.
Right, exactly. He just went right under him. What did he think KD was doing? Like, where you put your hands up and you run under, like with a...
Like a wedding?
Yeah. I don't know. Too high? Is that... That's like League of Their Own? Too high? Thanks, producer Jesse. Miss, nap time. Wolves, Lakers. LeBron throws down the thunderous dunk on the Wolves.
Ooh.
And soon after, we catch a glimpse of this kid on the Jumbotron. Take a look there.
Look at this little guy.
Right?
Look at those muscles.
I was at the arena last night. The place went absolutely nuts for this kid.
I mean.
It was awesome.
You got to bring him back.
And LeBron said after the game, he noticed.
Like, right.
He made note.
Well, there was a kid at a Lakers game earlier this season where some kid was just draining threes like it was nothing. And, in fact, had a much better shooting percentage than any of the NBA players on the court that night. No hands in his face, but still. Yeah. And now this kid is the muscles, I'm telling you.
He could be their Clipper Daryl.
He's all ready to go.
LeBron called him a mini Hulk Hogan.
Aw, that's very sweet. I don't know if anyone is Clipper Daryl or...
Nah, you're right.
Make blowouts. Cavs, Sixers. This was a lot. Philly annihilating Cleveland over the weekend. Woo. Now, Kevin Porter Jr., right, still threw down a dunk and flexed at the defender. How do we feel about this, given the position of the two teams on the scoreboard?
That dunk was just so nasty. I think it was just a bad, you know,
just instinct.
Twitch. Yeah, instinct.
Well, I don't think he was convulsing. I think he knew what he was doing.
He wasn't thinking right because he just dunked on him so hard, but that was bad, young fella.
It's not the worst thing in the world, but you understand the bigger picture here, Kevin. We're worried about the wins.
I never have, if you do something good and you show emotion about doing something good, I don't ever really have a problem with that. I mean, you can't really say it was, quote, disrespectful because the scoreboard, I mean, there's no, if we have to have a question about which way the respect was going in that court, you knew what was happening. Miss Age, Check out the sweet move Vince Carter puts on PJ Washington. Ooh. And then, of course, drains the wing three. I'd like to tell the people that Vince is 42 years old and PJ is 21, half his age, literally.
You should have told him, I could be your daddy.
Woo.
Yeah, you want to say, like, he has old man game, but that's just skill. Like, PJ Washington would be lucky to be doing that at 21.
I keep saying people are like, oh, he gives YMCA players hope. No. You can't do this. NBA players can't do this. There's a reason he is the only person coming up next month who will play in four decades in the NBA. This is not normal.
So smooth.
Woo!
Half man, half his
amazing.
Age.
Half his age is right there in front of him. PJ Washington makes swishes. Back to Philly. Check out the corner three by Ben Simmons like it was nothing. Made one in preseason. Now he's made two in the regular season. And they've all been swishes, right? Nothing but net. So I'm setting the Simmons made threes for the rest of the season. Our producer set it at 3.5. I'm going over. What are you going?
I'm going over too. I mean, the coach basically is telling him to shoot. You got all these 7'5" guys shooting. Go ahead, Ben. Okay. He ain't got nothing to lose.
You're winning by 40.
Is he starting at zero though? That means he has to have four more.
No, I think it's for the season. Oh, 3.5 for the, I don't know. 3.5 more. Producer Jesse's in my ear. He says 3.5 more.
No. Under.
Wow.
Lepers don't change their spots. Lepers don't change their spots, but good for him to hit another one.
I'm still going over. Okay. Thank you very much. All right. I want to talk about a major date coming up on the NBA calendar this weekend, December 15th, as nearly 150 players who hadn't been eligible to be traded because they signed new deals this past summer will now cross into allowing to be dealt. How much of a gum up has there been up until now? Well, with all these guys off the board, take a look at this. There has not been an NBA trade since the Russell Westbrook CP3 swap nearly 5 months ago. I cannot remember a time on the NBA calendar when it was not like a time where you couldn't trade players. We went 5 months without a trade, but once we hit Sunday, players like Andre Iguodala, Danilo Gallinari, those guys will be easier to move if their teams decide to do so. It's not just those guys, but it's the pieces that might be moved for them. You just have more pieces available now. One big name also on a lot of people's boards is Kevin Love. Woj reported this Friday that he will be made available by the Cavaliers. Dave, you covered that team for a long time. Where would the best fit for Love be, and do you see him getting moved, considering how high a price it sounds like the Cavaliers want for him?
Well, the team we've heard about for years when they've considered where Kevin could go once LeBron left is Portland, because he has ties there. It's where he grew up. And obviously, they seem to be missing that one extra piece of talent to get them over the top. I'm not so sure that works out right now, you know, salary-wise, and also, you know, you bring in Melo, who's kind of a stretch four. Kevin Love's a stretch four. How do you work that out? The team that I'd like to see get into this, and I'm not reporting it, just you look at what they have, you look at what Masai Ujiri's done in the past, makes big swings. Why not Toronto? You know, you could unload some of those contracts, throw in a younger piece, like an Anunoby or a draft pick or something like that, and now you put Pascal with Kevin Love and Kyle Lowry and you know, make a run at it. That's the type of move that I think the Raptors would be interested in, because they're not afraid to swing for the fences.
I'm bringing Rachel. I got it for you.
Okay.
It's risky. I'm bringing them back to Lake Oswego, Oregon. I'm bringing them home.
So
I'm bringing them back
to
the 503.
Right.
I got it. I made it on our trade machine.
Oh, look at that.
Wow, look at this.
I got Whiteside and Collins.
All right.
Going to Cleveland.
Yes.
For Kevin Love and Ante Zizek. Two bigs for two bigs.
Mm-hmm.
You bring Dame. You bring CJ and you bring Coach in the room and you say, look, I know our window is this. Is it worth it for you guys? What do you think? If they say yes, I think you do it. He's from Portland. That's going to be a big hit. He has the game. They got to do something to get in this arms race in the West, which is tough. I asked the stars, and if they for it, I roll the dice.
Well, it's interesting salary-wise. I know we had that graphic up. I don't know if we can throw it up again. They've got a ton of money committed already to Damian Lillard, to CJ McCollum, adding Kevin Love's salary. And take a look at this. It goes pretty far out. It goes to the end of the 22-23 season. He's supposed to get nearly $29 million. Now, he'll only be 34. It's not like that Chris Paul contract we're all saying, hey, he'll be making $44 million when he's 37. But Kevin Love has a lot of miles on his body already. He's had a lot of injuries these past 5 years. I think teams will have to look at that. And more importantly, it's committing him to the end of that 22-23 year, because that summer of 2021 is kind of the next big free agent summer.
Portland never gets any free agents.
Well, I'm not saying that they would be so concerned about locking up, although it would kind of it would limit what role players they would have be able to have if they had all three of those guys on those kinds of contracts. But when you look at other places that might want him, I don't think, like, people have talked about Miami. Miami is not making a trade that is going to wreck their
chances of
free agents in that. Absolutely not. I kind of like Phoenix. I wouldn't mind seeing him there, and
I'm
not sure what they'd be wrecking by tying up that money. But I think it is going to be – I think the number – that contract, which Cleveland walked into, eyes open, it was the summer LeBron left. Yeah. It seemed like ownership wanted to be able to have a win. They were opening up a new arena and saying, well, LeBron left, but we still have a big star who's committed to being here. Kyrie left, that kind of thing. They knew by signing him to that money, it would make him harder to deal. And it's just the extension and length of the contract. It will limit the number of suitors. So I wonder
definitely not easy.
How competitive a market there will be for him compared to what Cleveland thinks the market should be for him, and whether we will find a match or not before the trade deadline. But it was clear the other day, right, that he didn't look happy during the game.
Sure. And then we have a report, you know, we're all reading from the Athletic's Joe Varden and Shams Shannaria, like, about how there's players that are unhappy and what's going on with the coaching staff there during the rebuild. Kevin Love's name wasn't mentioned, but you had to wonder if he was someone who was adding to that unrest because he's been accustomed to playing on some contenders.
Yeah,
I think Lindsay Gottlieb's the best coach for that young team.
I mean, she's definitely earned high praise around there. Also, J.B. Bickerstaff has earned high praise. And by the way, John Beilein, by the way, I think he's shown himself to be a very good basketball coach. It's just a matter of, is he the right fit for that team? It's funny you mentioned about Kevin and him happy or unhappy. He spoke to our Tim Bontemps today. This is what he had to say. Quote, nothing's changed. What I mean by that is, there's been talk of me being traded. That is true. So it's nothing different. If they decide to go that way, I've just got to know it's part of the business. Or if we decide to go that way, it's part of the business. And part of this is on the heels of not just the report you mentioned from The Athletic, but the Cleveland Plain Dealer had a report where members of the organization, quote unquote, it was anonymous, I don't know who it is, were talking about Kevin's what they call bad body language. And it's interesting to me because we saw a little bit in New York with Carmelo. When people in the front office or members of the organization start saying things about their own player, it can depress the trade value for the player that they are trying to trade and get high trade value. So I don't know if they were trying to maybe get him to change his attitude going into however long they have him. I don't know if that stuff was leaked or talked about as a way to – I don't know. But I just, if you're trying to deal him, I don't know why you're painting him as a malcontent. It's just – it is confusing sometimes to watch.
I want to sell you my car. It has a rattling engine and two flat tires, but I really want to sell it to
and
you.
And bad body language. So
first and 15th should make him feel a lot better.
Well, right.
But when you're sitting there with all this young guys and you're in the latter part of your career and they have no hope, it's got to be tough for them.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. This will be the one I think we are watching the closest. Woj had that report on Friday, and the clock will be ticking, we think, starting this coming weekend. All right, when we return, Carmelo Anthony said last night he told Chris Paul to, quote, be careful in regards to the Rockets. Did Houston handle Melo and Chris's exit the right way? Stay tuned for that.
Now listen to what Jim Bob Otto said 21 years ago. I now have a responsibility to also not ever give up. I'm not special. I just listen to what the man said. I listen to all that he said, everything that he asked of us. And that's to build the V Foundation.
Stu, we have listened to what you have asked of us. Guys, join ESPN and the V Foundation in the fight against cancer. Visit v.org/donate. All donations benefit the V Foundation for Cancer Research. We miss you, Stuart, and we are dedicated to preserving your legacy. Come on, guys. Spend a little money. It's a worthwhile cause. All right. Let's talk about Chris Paul, because he had an interesting week with the referees on Friday in the Thunder's win over the Timberwolves. Watch this. Chris catches an untucked jersey violation and pushes to have a delay of game called. He knew that would be Minnesota's second. Right? And this would eventually push the, this would be the difference. This pushed the game into overtime and changed the result.
That happens more often than not. Sometimes refs just be like, whatever, but that is the rules. You know what I mean? If you check in without your jersey and tuck, it's a delay game. Probably what you want to, but.
Did you know that they'd already had one earlier in the game?
Yep.
Yep. Continued last night in the Thunder's win over the Blazers. CP himself called for two delay of game violations in the first half. Now, after the second call, which happened as he was checking into the game, you can hear his reaction to the official. Take a listen.
You got to be ready to go.
You're going to be on SportsCenter tonight. Good job.
Mark, how do we feel?
I love it. Chris is a by any means necessary competitor.
Absolutely.
People saying he's hating and he's snitching. He's helping his team. If he doesn't do that the other day, which was just brilliant.
That was a W.
To know
that was
the rules,
difference between a W and
he
an
got them that victory. So I'm all for Chris's shenanigans. Put your jersey in. Know the rules.
We're covering a league where you see coaches employ hack-a-shack all the time. You see players flop. This was a far more digestible version of gamesmanship that I'd want to see. It's clever.
Yeah.
It's being totally in tune with what's going on. And then, obviously, by him getting the calls against him the
yes.
next night, the league pays attention. Everybody talks. And it came back around, but that's okay.
Right.
Poor Jared Bell. Poor Jared Bell, man.
I do feel like, look, it was an end of game situation. It literally changed a W, from an L to a W, which, let's face it, the Thunder need all of those.
Yes,
this season. I'm okay when it comes down to the end of the game, how things are going to go. Some of it throughout a game, throughout the course of the season, just kind of let it go. We're playing NBA basketball. But in this case, I'm fine with it.
The delay games, though, are getting a little out of control. I was coming to the Lakers game last night. JaVale McGee, his sneaker ripped.
Okay.
And you can't play with malfunctioning, equipment. And they called him for a delay game. He's trying to, change the sneaker.
We have seen plenty of players this season alone play without a shoe, Dave.
So that's what we want to do now, Richard?
one
shoe McGee?
Was it IT who hit the jumper without the shoe last week? I'm just saying.
Okay.
He could toughen up.
Right.
Aren't you the one complaining about officiating delays the other day with reviews?
I mean, I complain about a lot of things, Rachel.
I want to keep it on Chris Paul because he went against his friend and former Rockets teammate Carmelo Anthony in last night's game. Melo was exiled by the Rockets after 10 games last season, later traded to the Bulls. And Chris Paul was, of course, dealt to the Thunder for Russell Westbrook this offseason. Now, after the game, our friend Nick Friedel asked Melo if he was surprised at how the Rockets handled Chris Paul's deal. Anthony said this, quote, "No, I wasn't surprised at all. When my situation happened in Houston, he was the first person that I called to come to my room. And we had to clear some things up, and I wanted to know if he had anything to do with it. And that was the first thing that I wanted to know. And he told me no. And from that point on, I told him, looked him in the eyes and said, look, just be careful. You know what I mean? Just be careful. And damn sure if, yep, the same situation didn't happen to him." Now, Mark, you talked in depth with Chris Paul for the Undefeated about how things went down in Houston. He told you that he asked Daryl Morey, 2 days before the trade happened, are you going to trade me to the Thunder?
Just
are you going to trade me. Are you going to trade me to this team for this guy?
Yeah.
And he says that Daryl told him no.
Yeah, and he strongly said that. And I didn't grab it out of him. You could tell he wanted it out there. And I talked to Daryl Morey, too.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to get into a yelling match with Chris or anything like that. The one thing the Rockets are saying behind the scenes is, well, Chris was told there was a chance. There was a chance. Maybe there was a chance that Chris was like, it's not possible, but Chris truly feels like he was told there was no chance he was getting traded at all and was stunned by that.
I have a huge issue with this. And the problem is it reminds me of the stories that we heard coming out in Philadelphia during the process where that's a disciple of Daryl Morey. It becomes fantasy basketball versus being a people business, a relationship business. You can't manage your team that way.
Yeah.
It's going to catch up to you.
So what do you have the
best part? Caught up to him.
Which part of the problem do you, which part?
If you're going to invite a guy with a legacy of being a first ballot Hall of Famer,
right,
who has a great standing in this league, who's done things to better the sport,
right,
you better honor that person's career or for the time that you have him in your stead and make sure you take care of him.
Mm-hmm.
Or don't go after people like that. Go after other players who don't have that standing in the game. To me right now, between these two examples with Carmelo and Chris Paul, and then also, what Daryl Morey, voiced about China and Hong Kong and created that situation, I'm not so sure Houston's going to be a desirable place for players to go for the foreseeable future. I don't know why you would, if you're a player that has a certain standing, who's already established yourself, why go and enter into that situation?
Know what the mistake is? Like, I talked to Pops Mensah-Bonsu,
right,
who's the G League GM for the Go-Go,
okay,
in D.C. And I said, what's the hardest thing you've had to do in cutting people? He said, being completely honest. Mm-hmm. I have to be honest to a fault. And I think that's the lesson for Daryl and all GMs. Like, be honest to a fault. I know it might hurt Melo's feelings. It might hurt Chris's feelings. But you got to, especially with somebody of their ilk, these, yes, future Hall of Famers, be completely honest with them so they know. Like what did Nick Melo tell Nick? Like, he still doesn't know what happened?
Right.
It can't be possible with those two stars.
Well, look, after the DeMar DeRozan situation happened with Toronto and he was so upset, I know a lot of people said to DeMar, dude, it's a business. Players have to understand it's a business. Players understand it's a business. No one understands this more than players. I think that what you're talking about is sort of, are you straightforward with me or not? Now, in that situation, Masai Ujiri says, I believe I told him one thing. DeMar believes something else. That's apparently what we have here. I think maybe GMs would be better off kind of approaching the "I will trade my mother if it makes sense"
yeah.
approach
Danny
and tell every player
Danny
that.
Danny Ainge would have traded Larry Bird. He told me.
Right. I mean, Danny has said that to every guy, and Paul Pierce has come in here and said that. And even he, before that deal with the Nets, he said that he brought Paul and KG in to his office and said, "I could trade you this season. Just be aware of that, and here's why. And I want to be straightforward and honest with you." I think that the problem some guys get into is they feel like in that situation, you're like the very specific situation with Chris Paul where he says, are you going to trade me to the Thunder this week? There's a little bit of if you say we could or yes or this might happen or we're working on something and then the deal doesn't go through. Then you have situations where guys say, well, they were working to trade me, right? That was part of the Kristaps Porzingis thing with the Knicks. He's like, you tried to trade me three times. Of course I want off this team. So I think it is a balance. GMs are probably best to fall all the way on the other side instead of saying all the way to the, like, no, of course I would never deal you. Go all the way to the other side like Danny Ainge and be like, are you kidding? I'm trading this coffee cup tomorrow. Everybody is on notice. And that way it's not personal of, they're looking to deal me.
Or there's a completely other lane where Rob Pelinka has now been saying, I view stars as part of the Lakers franchise, as partners with me. And perhaps that's where this can go, where it's such a competitive league, competitive industry, you know, guys will always try to peg other people's failures and make themselves look good. That could be another lane where you're going to just have, you know, very player-friendly executives out there who try to recruit players that way.
Yeah, and look, the Lakers have made that part of their trademark. That comes right from Jeannie Buss. When she gave Kobe the last contract that he had, it was very explicitly partly of, we want to show people around the league how we treat someone of Kobe's stature and everything he has done for us. And I do think it made a difference. Yes, that contract certainly hamstrung that organization, but every guy I've talked to who has talked about the Lakers and what they do as a franchise has brought that up. It is something that resonates. It is a balance, though, of is it good for your team? Dave, thank you for joining us. You will certainly be back
Laker
soon.
Dave.
We will be back because coming up, Luka Mania is rolling on. The most recent feat by Doncic had him pass Michael Jordan in the record books. You know, no biggie. We will discuss the significance of that next. Carvin Arnovitz is coming by the jump. Stay with us. Oh, hey, look, it's what the jump recommends today. It's sneakers. I got too excited looking at shoes. Dick DePaola breaking down best of the best in the land of NBA sneakers from week 7, including Baby Sharks, The Office, and someone totally redeeming himself. Totally. Check it. SportsCenter, 4 o'clock Eastern, Hannah and Keith on ESPN. And they're on the app. They will look at the Patriots' panic meter after that loss to the Chiefs. And hey, this week our NBA Wednesday doubleheader features Kawhi Leonard as he returns to Toronto. The Clippers taking on the Raptors at 7 Eastern. Then Giannis and the Bucks host the Pelicans. Both of those games are on ESPN and the app. And Kawhi is resting or knee maintenance tonight, so he will be playing as scheduled in that Wednesday night national game, walking back into the place he won a title last year. We now welcome ESPN NBA writer, humanist apparently, Kevin Arnovitz. I asked what to call you, and that's what you said.
I mean, yeah.
There you go. Bon vivant, man about town. And, Kevin, we get into that terrific 20-year-old Luka Doncic. I mean, he had his 19th consecutive game, 20 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. This was a loss to the Kings, but it still helped him pass Michael Jordan for the longest streak since the merger. That is more than 4 decades for those of you counting. No one else has done that. Now, Luka didn't like the MJ comparison.
A lot of stats going on, you know. I think it's a little bit too much stats, you know. You can't compare nobody to Michael Jordan, you know. He's one of the kind, you know. Those are just stats.
All right, so, I mean, he's not wrong. Scoring's up, pace is up. But still, the fact that it's not like 10 guys are doing it, he's the one doing it. So what do you think it means that we're seeing him doing it? What does it mean to you historically?
Right. So we like the proper deference to MJ from a young player. That's great. You know, we made the comp with LeBron the last week on the show, where there is such a command and stage presence and the control offensively of every possession. This guy's a point guard. I mean, it is insane what he's being able to do. What I'm watching now and sort of, okay, stature is he about to become one of those guys that by virtue of his presence on the roster alone, that team, you can pencil them in to a top four seed.
Right.
I mean, that, you know, LeBron, Kobe had that for much of his career. KD, you know, if this guy is on the roster, we're not talking about Dallas as a bubble playoff team. We are talking about them. They are going to host a first-round game the second weekend of April in the first round of the playoffs. And that's going to be interesting to watch because they're right in position there.
20. Can you say that yet? Would you say that we're about to see, right?
Like Dallas is sitting at about like a 54 win pace and they're in that kind of 3-4-5 range. I mean, that's going to be really interesting. And by the way, if they do, I mean, there's some nice players on that team. KP's been a nice addition. Powell, a bunch of like kind of blue collar guys, but it will be because a 20-year-old Luka Doncic elevated this team to a home court.
Look, he's nice. I'm going to say it for everybody. He's nice, but I'm going to be the grumpy man. I'm going to be the grumpy, as my people call me, the grumpy OG. They lost to the Kings. I don't care what he did. They lost to the Kings without Fox, without Bagley. You know, shout out to Luke Walton.
Right.
For him coaching this team to a pretty decent record under the circumstances.
After a rough
That's
start.
A stat I want to see. What is Luke Walton's record? I have it somewhere. Without Fox since November 8th. Without Bagley the whole season. That's the stat I want. Luka's nice, but shout out to the King.
I think, you know, anytime you have something that hasn't been done since Michael Jordan, it feels like something of note. And again, to Luka's point, you're like, yes, things are a little inflated. Things are different. I am in no way comparing Luka Doncic to Michael Jordan, so don't worry about your thumbs on Twitter or whatever. It's okay. I'm not doing that. But I do think when someone else hasn't done it besides him. There's no one else that we've said has done this first since Michael Jordan. It is notable. And as both of you are saying, in the end, what matters is what happens when we get down to the end of the season. How good are they? How many wins do they have? Let's talk about the Heat because that team is winning. In fact, they stayed unbeaten at home on Sunday behind, well, a heroic effort from Tyler Hero. You know we were going to do that. He scored 16 in the last 18 for Miami. Hung on to win over the Bulls. The Heat are now third in the East, 17-6. In fact, we here at The Jump will be in Miami for our ESPN game on Friday, so we'll be giving more attention to that team and what they are doing. Have the Heat forced you, Kevin, to reset your expectations for them this season?
Yeah, I mean, I think most of us have them in that scrum with Brooklyn and Orlando as probable playoff teams, but maybe not a contender for a first-round home court. And I think now they've elevated themselves to that scrum with, you know, Toronto and Philly and Boston. I mean, Milwaukee is just so far out of thing. They're an interesting team because I think of them as Denver in the West, that there's still a place in the NBA for a team that just dominates on the boards every night, controls possessions defensively in a run and gun league, is kind of more half court, is willing to be able to manufacture shots. They're second in true shooting percentage. They're overperforming their shot quality a little bit, but I just love, I mean, that unit, that starting unit, by the way, starting backcourt of, can anyone name it? I mean, you know, Nunn and Robinson, right? That is like a plus 16 per 100. I mean, this is a really reliable unit. It's a well-coached team, and they're adults. Like, I mean, you just see it in every possession, defensively, offensively, really good decision-making. And
Spoelstra's doing a great job.
I mean, it's a really great story.
Yeah.
Reporters root for cities.
Sure.
We need some Miami time. I'm jealous that you're getting. We need to go to Soho Beach. We need to go to Prime 112. We need them to be good. I think Indiana's going to get better when Victor comes back. I think, you know, Toronto's going to. So Jimmy Butler should be looked at as an MVP candidate. He's playing amazing. I just don't know through the course of the season if they could keep up this pace. Well, but I'm impressed right now.
He won Eastern Conference Player of the Week. Yeah. This was announced just about a half hour ago. They're doing so well. We had them in the segments we did over the summer. We kept talking about them. They're a playoff team. I never thought they were a bubble team. This team got Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
They went to the last night of the
season. Are they a second round team?
About getting to the playoffs. Right. So that's the question for me is, to me, they were always going to be a playoff team. They were always going to take a leap from being not a playoff team to being a playoff team. Now the question, though, is, are they a second round team? And are they threatening to be an Eastern Conference Finals team? And just the team that does all those little things, that picks up every little extra point, that just doesn't make careless mistakes.
Me and Kevin need
gives
tans.
The extra effort. Look, right?
Well, you really need one.
Yeah, I'm getting there. I'm losing my submachine. You know, what's interesting about the Heat is, I mean, first of all, two things. I mean, one is, look, at the end of the day, it's really nice to have a guy who can create a shot for himself. They've been sort of making lemonade for a couple of years with some, you know, nice role players. The second is, you know, we always think of them as a team that might make a move. The funny thing about it is the guy that has been the person we most mention as somebody who would go out, Goran Dragic, has been a part of the success.
Absolutely.
Because if I was like, what do you want to add to the Heat? I would say, hey, how about a dynamic guard who can play a little pick and roll, can shoot 40% from three, come off the bench, you know, change things up. Sounds like Dragic, right? Like, so it's interesting. Like, that's kind of, they've been talked about as a team that might make the move for the guy.
Should they do CP?
I don't think so.
I don't think that's a good fit. I think both sides maybe back to right, that was a good fit. But when you talk about trades, Dragic was supposed to be traded.
Right.
He was included in a deal that ended up coming undone. And it's so funny that it turns out that instead,
nice contributor for them.
Instead, things have worked out. All right, as I said, the Jump is going down to Miami at the end of this week ahead of Lakers Heat on ESPN. We will have many special guests, including one legend. I can tease that. We're going to have a legend on set with us for a little bit.
Gloria Estefan.
So hang out. All right, it's not Baywatch. It's Haywatch. It's back. Come on, it'll never die. Gordon Hayward might return tonight. We're going to keep an eye on it and see what the Celtics look like with him back at full strength. First, though, time for our second distant replay of the day. It's this date. It's 2001. It's no T-Mac in 30 seconds, but it's pretty good.
Oh.
Hey, look, cuz.
Who's that underneath? Bo Outlaw?
We got the whole family represented today on the Jump. Brady and Carter.
Can we just change this feature just exclusively Vince for the rest of the season?
I mean, that's what Amin would like. Amin has
good
talked
defense,
about how
good
this
Liotta.
Right?
I'm on board.
The Vince Carter segment. All right.
Hey.
It's time. You know, look, you wanted Haywatch. You needed Haywatch. We all need it in our lives. Gordon Hayward may be coming back tonight. What do you think it is going to do for the Celtics to have him at full strength? This is a game against the Cavs. He's officially listed as questionable, Mark.
I think he plays.
Mm-hmm.
He will play.
Okay.
The Celtics have been great without him, but they were better with him.
They were.
7-1 as opposed to 9-4. And he was rolling, man. He averaged 19 and 7-4. This is huge. And this could potentially, you know, give Milwaukee some run for their money right now.
Yeah, I mean, what they get is a big, creative ball handler who can guard four positions. What coaches will tell you is they want guys who can make plays at every position, ideally. And Gordon, I mean, forget, he's 6'8". He can shoot from three. He can run a pick and roll. And he can defend four positions. It's a really helpful additive.
They got Jaylen Brown going now, too.
Yeah. Absolutely. And we should remind everyone, the injury that he was out with, it's so different from last time.
Right.
Much smaller injury. It was to his non-shooting hand. Because it was the hand, he was able to still sort of keep his conditioning up the whole time. So we don't expect the same kind of sort of soft period on his way back. And we talked about trader Danny Ainge.
Yeah.
He will use these next few months to decide, does he need to make a move to tighten up that middle? We'll
don't
see what the Celtics do.
Him.
See you tomorrow. We're back on ESPN.